This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. And again, greetings this morning and welcome to our lesson today. Again, we're glad you've tuned us in. Now, if you would like to contact me to make comments on the program, or if you would like to leave me with prayer requests, you may do so by regular mail or through my website, and I'll give you those addresses at the close of the program. Remember, you can re-listen to this program on my website, and you can read a weekly meditation there. There's other information that you can read there, testimonies and ways to study the Bible, questions and answers that you might find helpful as well. Now today we want to continue with our study of the miracles of the Lord Jesus, and we're going to look at miracle 22, where the Lord casts a demon out of a Gentile woman's daughter, and we're going to look at miracle 23, where he opens the ears of a deaf man who couldn't speak right. Now, of course, as we're looking at these miracles, we've said that our key verse is that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the reason we're looking at the miracles is to know that what we're hearing is, in fact, the truth of Scripture, that the Lord had not only the right, but he had the ability to tell us that God did so love the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And we've emphasized before that we don't need to know a lot about the Bible in order to be prepared to meet God after we die, but we need to believe that the Bible does contain that the Bible is the Word of God, not that it just contains the Word of God, but that it is the Word of God. And these miracles convince us that they are, that the Lord is in fact who he claimed to be, and he had the right to tell us what he told us, and he has the power to back it up. And so when we look at these miracles, we know that they were primarily designed to convince the Jews that the Lord was the Messiah, the coming King. But they also convince the Gentiles who pay attention, they also convince them that the Jews did reject their Messiah, and the blessing of the Messiah goes far beyond the Jewish nation. It goes to the Gentile nations as well, particularly after the resurrection. And we're going to see that in these miracles. And we know that when we come to the Corinthian epistle, chapter 1, Paul reminds us that the Jews seek after a sign, the Gentiles seek after wisdom. And that just simply means that the Jews are looking for a sign from God in order to believe that something is of God, where the Gentiles are more likely to want it to make sense. And there's an awfully lot of Gentiles who have rejected the truth of Scripture because to them, these miracles do not make sense. But if the Lord is the Son of God, then the miracles do make sense. And it's a matter of who or what are you going to believe. And I believe that the miracles did occur in the early part of this this dispensation, that the miracles did prove that Jesus was the Son of God. They did prove that the early apostles had the Word of God. I believe that now that we have the Word of God, the miracles, the sign miracles that were to convince the Jews that the Messiah was who he claimed to be, have passed away. But we look at these miracles as internal proofs that the Bible can be depended on, and then we again remind you that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, the miracles that we're going to look at today, one of them could be found in both Mark's Gospel and it could be found in Matthew's Gospel. I'm going to read from Mark because in Mark, the second miracle we're going to deal with today is found right in the discourse right after the miracle, the first miracle that I want to deal with. Now, this first miracle has to do with casting a demon out of a Gentile woman's daughter. And in Mark 7, verse 24, we read, "From there he arose and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and he entered a house and wanted no one to know it, but he could not be hidden. And I'm going to stop there for a moment and just mention that the Lord needed time of rest. He needed time to be alone, just like any normal man was. He was both a man and he was God made known in the flesh. But there's something about the Lord. He can never be hidden. People know where he is. And even in countries where the Christians are persecuted, the gospel spreads. And the Lord has his ways of spreading the gospel. The thing that's funny is that Christians sometimes don't speak out about what they believe, whereas those places where perhaps the gospel is being persecuted, those people do speak out. And I sometimes wonder about that. But even if we don't speak out, the gospel is not hidden. There's Bibles in every dime store, in every Kmart, in every Walmart, in every Sam's Club. There is CDs, Bible programs. There's all kinds of news reports that have to do with Christianity. Some of it good, some of it bad, but the Lord, it just simply cannot be hidden. And friend, today, I don't know where you come from or what your background is, but the Lord is revealing himself to the world yet in many different ways, and he is not hidden. There's no way he can be hidden. Now, verse 25 says, "For a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him, and she came and fell at his feet." The Lord said to her, the woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. But Jesus said to her, "Let the children be filled first." That is, I want to take care of the Jewish people first. "For it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And so he's saying that the Jews are children, but the Gentiles are dogs. And she answered and said to him, "Yes, Lord." Notice that she uses the word Lord with respect. She says, "Yet even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs." And so she's taking a humble place. Then he said to her, "For this saying, go your way, and the demon has gone out of your daughter." And when she had come to her house, she found the demon gone out and her daughter lying on the bed. And I just want to say here that whether you're a Jew or whether you're a Gentile, if you seek the Lord, you'll find him. If you want to be blessed by the Lord, you'll be blessed. This woman had nothing to offer the Lord. She didn't have a natural claim on him like the Jews did. She wasn't born of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And as far as her relationship with the Lord was concerned, she came from a bunch of nations that the Lord had told the children of Israel to destroy because they had turned away from God in the Old Testament. They had worshiped idols. And so she was basically born wrong. Well, we're all born wrong. We're all born sinners. People seem to think today that it's the saved that gets saved, that there are some people that are born into Christian families, and as a result, they have special privilege, and they're taught about the Word of God, and as being taught about the Word of God, they're taught how to be Christians, and that's what makes Christians. But friend, that's just not true. We're all born wrong, and there has to be an acknowledgement of that before we can be saved, and we have to be humbled before God in order to turn to Him and say that we are just sinners of the Gentiles, dogs, as this woman would say, and we have no claim on the Lord for blessing. And it's at that point that the Lord will bless us. He will not turn anyone away who comes to Him by faith. He says, "Come unto me." I mentioned this last time. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And so we know that this woman took the humble place. She recognized the Lord being the Son of God. She recognized who he was, and she knew that all the only claim she could have was a humble claim where she would ask him to bless her when she didn't deserve it. And that's really what happens when we get saved. We all find out that it's by grace that we are saved through faith, and it's not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. And so we see here how that God saves the undeserving, and he saves those who see their need and come to him, and not to a religious person, not to a doctor of the law, not to a lawyer, not to a church. You come to him, and through him you can find blessing. Then we read that after departing again from the region of Tyre and Sidon, he came through the midst of the region of Decapolis to the Sea of Galilee. And they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to put his hand on him. Now, again, I want to mention that in our first miracle, a mother came to the Lord for her daughter. In our second miracle, people who loved this man brought him to the Lord. Whether any of these people would have come on their own, I don't know, but they were brought by others. And I ask myself, whom have I brought to the Lord? I may have brought people to church. I may have brought people to Bible studies, but have I made it clear that I really want to bring them to the Lord? And so they brought to him the one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to put his hand on him, and he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers in his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue, and looking up to heaven, he sighed and said, Ephrathah, Ephphatha. I'm saying that wrong, but anyway, it means be opened. And immediately his ears were opened, and the impediment of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly. Then he commanded them that they should tell no one, but the more he commanded them, the more widely they proclaimed it. Folks, when you're blessed by God, you can't keep from telling others. We tell people, you need to go out. We shouldn't have to tell people you need to go out and tell others that God has saved you, because we shouldn't be able to keep from going out and telling others that God has saved us. Where is that joy that comes with having our sins forgiven and the burden of our sin gone? Where is that joy today? They couldn't keep from proclaiming this truth. And then they said, they were astonished beyond measure, saying, he has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. And by nature, we're deaf. We don't listen to the word of God. By nature, we speak wrong, and we can often tell whether people are really saved by the way they talk. They may talk like they're Christians, but when you listen to them, you find out that there's no devotion to the Lord, no obedience to his word, no desire to follow him. We can tell by the way they talk. But when we look at the people that are really saved, who have found Christ died for their sins, they can't help but tell others about it. And they say, the message they'll say is that I have come to know the Lord, and he has done all things well. He died for my sins. He was raised again the third day. And now he sits at the right hand of the Father, and he's coming again, and he has done all things well. Now, our Heavenly Father, we ask thee to bless our lesson today. Bless all who have listened. We thank you for salvation through faith in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa 50849. My website address is bdcministries.com. bdcministries.com, and we do thank you for listening.